Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, the theme this week is if you're a legendary coach, you're out the door, you're calling it quits. Nick Saban and Bill Belichick in the same week. How about that?
I think they were within 24 hours of each other, too, Jimmy. I think Nick Saban was a surprise, right? Because, I mean, Belichick's been having trouble in New England since Brady left. So there's, you know, when he has control of everything, and that's been more of a slow burn. I mean, Alabama won the SEC title game, beat Georgia this year, lost to Michigan, eventual national champion in the Rose Bowl, and then bang, less than a week later, or a week or so later, Nick Saban said he's done. You know, I mean, he's 72 years old. That's what I've been hearing a lot about this. They're like, oh, he's 72 years old, and, you know, Belichick's, you know, however, 70-something year old, and they can still coach. They're 70-something years old. Step back and enjoy what you've been able to do a little bit, gents. But, you know, I think for Saban, I mean, he's a legend. He won almost 300 games during his career. He won everywhere he went at the college level. He was not a successful NFL head coach. He was a very successful NFL assistant coach / coordinator under actually Belichick. He coached under Belichick in Cleveland. But he became the first coach at Michigan State to take the first three teams he coached to bowl games. He coached 1 year in Toledo. They won the MAC in 1990 as their head coach. And obviously, you know, six national championships at Alabama. 2003, won a national championship with LSU. He's a Hall of Fame coach. And I think it was a surprise. I mean, indications are that even up to 24 hours a day before, he was interviewing staff and potential candidates via Zoom for, you know, coaching positions. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's just like Nick Saban's done. And those are very, very, very big shoes to fill for somebody. And, you know, I think Nick just got, think about how much college football has changed in the last just 2 years, Jimmy. 2 years ago, there was no transfer portal and no NIL. And just look at the amount of change and how, not just the amount, but how fast that those two landscapes have progressed and evolved over a two-year period. I just think it was, he's just not a fan, I don't feel, of the direction that college football is headed. He's, you know, he's 70 something years old, and he's like, I've had enough. And I think it is harder on coaches these days than most people can imagine or know. And I think the last 2 years has been largely responsible for that. But yeah, hey, he walked out not winning a national championship, but winning another SEC championship, and was in the Final 14 college football playoff. That is what Alabama will be remembered for, is they sort of set, they were the benchmark and set the standard under Nick Saban in the early era of the college football playoff and college football, when it was a 14 college football playoff. And I mean, he was in the BCS era also, but in the college football playoff era, Alabama, it was all about Alabama. Alabama was a standard bearer. And Nick Saban will always be remembered for that, in my opinion.
I want to hit on the game changing and how much effect that had on him leaving, Andy. But you gave some of the stats. Let me give you a couple more. Just with his tenure at Alabama, okay? He was there for 17 seasons. Yep. His first season, he was 7-6, okay? Yep. Now, some of those wins were vacated because of issues that went on before he got there. But games on the field, he was 7-6 that first year. That leaves him with 16 more seasons. He had double-digit wins in every one of those 16 seasons. Yep. Of those 16 seasons, 15 out of the 16, he had two losses or fewer. He lost three games once, and even then, he went 10-3. He had eight seasons with one loss or fewer to go along with his six national championships and three runner-ups. Nine times out of those 16 years, he either won the national championship or was the runner-up. Andy, those are numbers that are just hard to fathom.
Yeah, they were. This was the era of it was Alabama and everybody else under Nick Saban pretty much during this era. And, you know, the college football playoff has been around for 8 or 9 years. And it is, when you think about college football in, you know, in the 2000s, you're going to think of Nick Saban and Alabama. That's simply all you're going to think about. From like 2000, you know, from the early 2000s to the 12-team college football playoff, it was Nick Saban and Alabama. They were the standard bearer. And, you know, he was better at recruiting than everybody thinks. It wasn't just like, you know, well, I'm going to go play for Nick Saban because Nick Saban's such a great, nice guy. And no, Nick Saban was a hard, fair football coach who actually prepared players and got them to the NFL. That's what recruits want. That's why they went to Alabama. It's not because he's a warm, fuzzy, you know, great human being. James Franklin has more of that sort of, you know, personal, interpersonal relationship development in him. He certainly has more of it than Nick Saban did and does. But that's not why you went to Alabama to play for Nick Saban. You went there to win national championships and get ready to be an NFL player. That's it.
And he did that. He got players in the NFL. He won. Alabama was the place where he's going to get all the resources that he needs. But Andy, you had mentioned earlier about the game changing so much. That between the transfer portal, which essentially is just plain free agency.
Free agency, yeah.
And the fact that you could, through NIL, pay the players, that's even more the analogy to free agency. Players could go wherever they want, go to the highest bidder. Now, that's got to make the job tougher on any coach. But I think if you're a coach who's been around a long time, as you mentioned, his age, 70 years old, that's got to be a tough part of the job. And I imagine that was part of his decision.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many – what was it? I think it was six. Was it six players from Alabama entered the transfer portal shortly after they lost to Michigan in the bowl game? Like, maybe it was up to nine. It was a large number of players from Alabama. And last year there were a large number of Alabama players that entered the transfer portal. I just think in the way Nick Saban likes to operate and run a program, and I'm not saying the game passed him by or he's a Stone Age coach. That's not it. That's not true at all. I just don't think he was comfortable being able to be his very best as a leader of Alabama's program with the direction college football is going. I think it just got too hard for him to be comfortable in his own skin, sort of as the way what's required of a head coach now and leading Alabama's football program. I think the transfer portal more than anything, Jimmy, the coming and going, the changing, the moving landscape, the shifting, you know, the shifts and changes that come along with it. I just think it was really hard for Nick Saban to reconcile and deal with that. And not because he couldn't, but because it just wasn't comfortable to him. So I think that played a small role. And like you said, he's 70-something years old.
The other part to this, Andy, the game changed, and I hope I could explain this correctly. As the game of coaching existed 5 years ago, 10 years ago, with Alabama as his home, Nick Saban was the very best at it. Now, with the way the game is, the way the rules are, it's a different game. We don't know if Nick Saban would continue to be the very best at it because it's so different than it was just, say, 4 or 5 years ago. And Nick Saban saying, hey, that's enough, I don't want to do it anymore, is very understandable. You see even Dabo Sweeney, who was so good at this coaching thing, again, about 5 years ago or so. And then he didn't like the changes, so he was refusing to adapt to it, not acknowledging that the transfer portal is part of building a team these days. And it hurt him and his program. So it's a new, completely new set of rules. And, you know, we're spending this time praising Nick Saban, and deservedly so. But I will also point out not long ago how he was critical of Texas A&M for trying to buy a championship team. Well, Nick, you know, in your era, someone could say, you know what, Alabama, just in a different way, because they could spend the money on the resources of the facilities, his coaching staff, his analysts. Nobody had a bigger coaching staff than Nick Saban did. Alabama was throwing money at this when Nick Saban was so good, but just in a different way. So I think it's at least worth pointing that out, Andy.
Oh, for sure, Jimmy. That was funny because when he did that, because it was overtly a pot calling a kettle black. Because for the better part of a decade and a half, up to the line, and maybe they dipped their toes across the line, but up to the line of what was, you know, you could or couldn't do, that was the most well-resourced, well-stocked, you know, it would get what Nick would get what he wanted, and the resources would be found every single time and twice on Sunday. They had an inherent advantage at Alabama that Nick enjoyed for a decade and a half. It's a level playing field now, Jimmy. Level playing field.
Well, I'm not sure it's level, but but Alabama doesn't have the same advantage they did for several years for Nick Saban. All right, that's it for quarter number one and our Alabama conversation. When we come back, we'll start some Michigan conversation, Andy. Stay tuned for that. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T-Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking college football today, Andy. We spent the first quarter, I think deservedly so, talking about Nick Saban and him moving on. Obviously, the other big story in college football this week is we had a national championship game and a national champion. It's Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. I think you were pretty high on Michigan all year long, Andy.
Yeah, I was. I thought Michigan was the best team in the Big Ten, and in the end, they proved, you know, obviously they were the best team in the country. It was an interesting year for the Wolverines with the suspensions and the, you know, the rules infractions. I'll put it nicely and call them rules infractions that were brought to light. But I think it created a rallying cry for the players themselves. I hate that phony, you know, that phony tough stuff, but I think it played a factor for them. And at the end of the day, you know, they did what very few teams can do in college football. And I'm talking at the elite level. They did it against Alabama and they did it against Washington again. They impacted slash wrecked slash harassed slash, you know, at, you know, badgered, whatever you want to call it. They were able to completely impact an offense and a couple of pretty good offenses and good quarterbacks by rushing four guys, basically. They didn't have to scheme. They didn't have to blitz. They didn't have to leave their corners on an island every single time to make it happen. They were simply just, that was, to me in a nutshell, that is why they won a national championship, was that they did that. I mean, they, Michael Penix Jr., you saw him walk, if you didn't see it, he walking off the field, he was a physical wreck. And he gets the ball out really quick, and it didn't matter. So that was one part of it. The other part was, in terms of, you know, Michigan's defense, they tackled better than anybody in space, and they played fast in space. They got to guys quick, and then they finished guys in space quick. And that was key in the national championship game, because Washington gets the ball out quick and likes to run short routes, and they've got really good receivers. And yards after catch was really important for Washington. And Michigan just made it go away. They were outstanding, almost borderline, something the likes of which I've never seen, of how well they tackled in space in that game. And, you know, they got out in front. Their running backs blew up early and hit all those big runs. And then they just handed the game to their defense. They literally turned the game over to the defense. How long was it? 17-10. Michigan was leading. I think it was four or five possessions. Washington had the ball down a possession and literally didn't even come close to looking like they were going to score. So, you know, it was a complete defensive victory for Michigan. They dominated that game. And four guys, basically a four-man pass rush, wrecked the football game.
Andy, my rooting interest in this game was I wanted it to be competitive. I wanted it to go down to the wire. And Michigan dominated early. And as you put it, they were up one score, 17-10 for multiple possessions.
Long time.
In the interest of a good game, I'm hoping Washington can get that score somewhere. And you're right. It was like they weren't even a threat to do that. And it's fascinating. And this question has come up is, how did Michigan do this? Now, the comparison between Michigan and Penn State, they were on par with each other for several years, with Ohio State being the superior team. Penn State and Michigan, they recruited in a similar manner, similar level. And now Michigan, they made that jump. How did they do it, Andy?
I think, how did Michigan do it? I think Michigan, are you asking how they do it and how's Penn State struggled not to do it?
Well, like, you know, I don't think that it's another conversation about Penn State. And a lot of fans will look at this and say, well, if Michigan did it, recruiting at that level, not the highest level, why can't Penn State do that? Now, what I don't like about that talking point, Andy, is there are a lot of teams who are in that level, you know, below the Georgias, Alabamas, Ohio States, who recruit in a way superior to everybody else. Okay. A lot of teams are in that next tier.
Right.
So if you're going to ask how come Penn State doesn't do it, you have to ask why, you know, 10 other teams haven't done it either. My question is about Michigan. Is there, I like baseball, Andy, and the baseball, are you familiar with Moneyball?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And what Moneyball is saying, okay, we'll find a different way to win games. We'll find the advantage that other people don't see. And a lot of people, you know, make the mistake of calling Moneyball about getting walks. Well, that's on-base percentage, and that was a what I'll call the hidden advantage that the Oakland A's found before other people did. It was a way to win without having the superstar talent. My question is, does Michigan have some kind of money ball element? They found the secret sauce, that formula to win without having the elite talent. And let's face it, they've now, this is a couple years in a row where they've exceeded that recruiting level. And so it's not just, oh, a 1 year flash in the pan.
Right.
And they beat some really good teams on their way to the national championship.
Yeah, this is their third straight year in the college football playoffs, right? They got cracked a couple times pretty good. So I think the coaching staff and the program was familiar with what it took at this level. But I think they have figured out that there are a couple formulas for them to win a game. And it doesn't center on the quarterback being a difference maker. It centers on their quarterback being mistake free. And it centers on their ability to put pressure on an opposition through what is basically simple, ordinary, good defense. It's not exotic. They don't bring a lot of crazy blitzes. They don't, you know, mix and match a lot. They don't do any of that, Jimmy. They just come straight at you and say, that's it. We're better than you. That's how they win. Washington's offensive line, Jimmy, is regarded as one of the, if not the best in college football. And there's at least three NFL draftable players that started on that offensive line. And they got monkey stomped by a defensive line that is not loaded with quote unquote, what would have you would have counted as recruitable, you know, blue bloods coming out of high school. So their talent development, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, is at the next level. And the bottom line is, Jim Harbaugh, he's a really good coach, you know, Jim. He's really, really good at coaching. It's taken longer for him at Michigan than any place else in his career to get to a next level. You know, there was a time, you know, four or five years ago, Jimmy, his kitchen was a little bit warm there at Michigan. But you always knew Jim Harbaugh could coach, and Jim Harbaugh knew the kind of assistance he needed around him to play the style of football he believes works. Think about it, Jimmy. He plays a style of football that he thinks works. We will run the ball. Our quarterback will be mistake-free. He doesn't have to throw 50 passes a game and complete, you know, 75% of them. We don't need to throw for 412 yards a game. He has a style, not a formula. He has a style of football that he thinks can be effective and win, and he'll use it in a couple different ways, and he'll stick to it. He really sticks to it. I mean, the Penn State game this year was amazing. They ran the ball every single play the second half, pretty much, exclusively, because they could. And You could counter and argue and say, Penn State's defense was doing just fine. That is how Michigan does it. Just what they do is at what they want to do, and what they do is what Jim Harbaugh believes is, you know, how he can win football games, and they're not afraid to lean on it. They did not blitz very much against Washington, and all the talk leading up to it was, how's Michigan going to get pressure on Penix? How is they going to make Michael Penix uncomfortable? And Michigan's answer was, yeah, like 90% of the time we're going to send our four dudes after him. And they did.
Andy, a few things here. First of all, I'm not sure I've heard the expression monkey stomp before. Not sure I know what it means. However, I will use it, okay? I understood what you meant. And second, I'm glad you brought up the Penn State game, because it points out, I think, a couple things. First of all, J.J. McCarthy is the perfect quarterback for Michigan and what they want to do.
Yep.
He's not going to make mistakes. He's okay with, you know, being called the game manager, which is often an insult when you say that about a quarterback. His ability, he has the ability to win a game with his arm, but how many times he did it against Penn State? He did it against Washington, making good plays with his legs. When that at the most important times, okay, third and longs, and he's making those plays. The other thing I wanted to point out with the Penn State game, and you did too, with the fact they ended up running the ball, Penn State was putting so much heat on McCarthy early. Chop Robinson just owned that right tackle. He owned him. That became obvious. They were going to have trouble throwing the ball because of it. So what did Michigan do? They said, well, we're just not going to throw it. And what they also did, which I thought was about coaching, is on third and long, when Penn State put so much heat on them, they found a way to beat Penn State at their own game at that third and long, Andy. That was coaching.
Oh, yeah. Michigan is extremely well coached. The other thing when you watch Michigan play, and obviously we watched them a lot this season because, you know, we're looking at the Big Ten a little more closely. Fundamentally, I thought even in the Alabama game, they were the more fundamentally football sound team. That was a big difference for me when they beat Alabama. They were fundamentally sound. That is a key for them as well.
And I think you could just say that about any Michigan team. Fundamentally sound, thanks to Jim Harbaugh and his staff. Andy, that's it for quarter two. Stick around quarter three. We got your questions. We're going to ask Andy. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T-Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We are going to take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send Andy a question, here's how you do it. Just make sure you download our app. Just search on Keystone Sports wherever you get your apps. And, well, you'll see our app. You'll see the Ask Andy button. And away you go. Let's get right to it, Andy. Let's start with our good friend Jimmy in Forest City, who says, "Dear Andy and Jim, prior to the Peach Bowl, I felt confident that Penn State would make the 12-team playoff next season. Now I am not confident, especially considering a schedule with Ohio State and Washington at home and away at West Virginia, Wisconsin, and USC. What do you think?"
Ooh, yeah, I still think they have a lot of pieces, Jimmy. They're going to have – they've picked up some pieces, but they've got a lot of – they have a lot of pieces. To me, whether or not – this is interesting. I thought 2023 season and Penn State being a college football playoff team potentially was all about their defense. And their defense was championship level start to finish. Next level, elite. You know, I think for 2024, for me, it's about the quarterback and that offense. If Penn State is going to be a college football playoff team in the first 12-team college football playoff, they're going to have to get more from Drew Aller at the quarterback, and they're going to have to get – that offense has got to be consistently better. That's a – they were hot in flashes against certain opponents. They were sort of dysfunctionally functional at times, especially early in the season. I just think they need to be a more consistent, dynamic offense, and I really believe – I still think this defense is going to be very good. I still – the days of being top five and top ten in every single category that is kept like it was in 2023, those are over and behind you. But it's still going to be a very good defensive football team. I think the onus on this team shifts to the other side of the ball, that they need better production and more consistency offensively and from its key players in order for this team to be a college football playoff team with the schedule it has on the docket in 2024. So, Jim, you're right about the schedule. There's more meat on the bone. That's going to require more from the offense, in my opinion.
Andy, I think you're exactly right. And I've been accused of being a Manny Diaz fanboy. I plead guilty. But I used this expression to you earlier in the week, Andy, when we were chatting. I don't think Manny Diaz would be Manny Diaz in 24. There are, count them, six NFL players on that defense who are moving on. That's so much talent to lose. And we saw the effect of that in that Peach Bowl when some of the players were out. Some of them played limited downs. It was a different defense because of that. So I think you've got to be aware of that, which means, yes, we need to see more from the offensive side of the ball, Andy. All right, let's go to Stan in Nashville, and I'll just say it up front. Stan, I hope you listen to quarter number two of our show. You'll understand why, Andy, when I give you the question. Stan says, "Andy, Penn State and Michigan are essentially equal in recruiting rankings, both averaging just outside of the top 10. Blue chip ratio for both, about 55%. Yep. So why is there such a disparity in on-field performance over the past 3 years? Is it coaching? Is it player development?"
Wow, that's a great question, Stan. And I remember at one point in 2023, you shared a graphic and we were looking at like some overall thing with Penn State and Michigan over 5 years, and they were literally right next to each other. I do recall that as I was listening to Stan's question. To me, it's overall player development is the biggest difference. Coaching, is Jim Harbaugh a better football coach than James Franklin? Yeah. Every day and twice on Sunday. That's end of discussion right there. But does that, that doesn't mean Penn State can't have the same level of talent development that Michigan does, right? That's the gap for me, is I think overall at across the board, you know, Penn State might send more players to the NFL this year than Michigan. Michigan won a national title. Talent and player development, I think, at Michigan is, for the better part of three seasons, has been at, for where they recruit, for the better part of, three seasons, maybe four, it has been at an exceptional level. And I don't think that's going to change. So they are doing talent development, not talent acquisition. They're doing fine on the talent acquisition side. It's the talent development that is the difference maker for Michigan.
And Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, as we talked about, he has his vision for how the game should be played. He was able to translate that vision to reality. James Franklin has the vision also. That translated on defense. It didn't translate on offense. The offense this year did not play up to the talent that they had. Had they done that, Andy, I thought they did have not just recruiting rankings and all that. I thought they had talent comparable to Ohio State and Michigan, and they were 0-2 in those games.
Yeah.
Those were the things we looked at coming into the season, and that was the reality in those two games. They weren't good enough, and I'm not talking about the talent because I thought the talent was there. All right, Andy, we had to get to this question. Carl in Altoona says, do you consider James Franklin a viable candidate for the Alabama job?
No. I think Alabama's looking for a guy with, I think they're going to look for somebody younger and long-term. And I think they're going to look at some guy with, you know, like, football chops is his number one thing. You know, he's got to learn a little bit maybe on the CEO side. I just think it's a good spot for Alabama with the transfer portal and what's going on in college football. And I don't say this very often today in the modern game. I think it'd be a good time for Alabama to hire a ball coach, a guy who's a ball guy, you know, football first, X's and O's, a little bit innovative, learning the CEO part of it is the other side that you're going to have. You might sacrifice a little bit of learning curve. This is just my opinion. And I think James Franklin is the complete opposite of that. And I'm not talking it's because he can't beat Michigan and Ohio State on a consistent basis that Alabama's not going to consider it. I'm taking the question on its merits, Carl. And would he be a viable candidate? I don't think so.
I think there's a lot of other places Alabama would go to first before getting down to James Franklin in the pecking order. A whole other question, and we'll get into it another time, is would that be a smart move for James Franklin? Anyway, let's go to John in Raleigh, North Carolina. He says, are we Penn State fans being groomed to accept having winning teams but no national championship under Franklin? Will James Franklin be able to take Penn State all the way like Jim Harbaugh did with Michigan?
Ooh, man, that's a tough, good question, John. It's fair. As a fan, it's fair. You know, it doesn't look much. How does it get to look much better than it did in 2023, Jimmy? How does it get to look much better that with the talent and, you know, the depth and, you know, the defensive coordinator and, you know, your quarterback, your first, you know, your five-star quarterback that you've been pining for and wanting. And I know it was his first year, but, you know, two running backs, you got three tight ends, you've got a veteran experience offensive line with NFL talent in different spots. I mean, you've got a defense that was 19. How does it look any better than it did in 23? And it kind of looked the same as it did any other 10-win season.
Andy, let me address this a little bit. And I'll try not to be the James Franklin apologist.
No, right.
But as I put it out there, you know, you're comparing, John, Penn State to Michigan, the team that at that recruiting level won it all. How come you're not comparing them to Texas A&M and Florida State and on and on and on? There are so many other teams who are in that same recruiting window, same talent level, and have not jumped up and won the national championship like Michigan did. Number two, just a couple years ago, Andy, Michigan was in the same boat. There was more than a little heat in Jim Harbaugh's kitchen. There was a lot of heat. And he needed to do that breakthrough. Now, where I will agree is I think this was the season where James Franklin did have the talent comparable to Ohio State and Michigan. Not better talent, comparable talent. And he was 0-2, okay? So you do, and as we talked about earlier, I think Michigan outcoached Penn State in their game with each other. So there is that. So, but I think just this blanket indictment of James Franklin, I'm not sure is fair. All right, let's see if we can sneak in another question.
Sure.
This is Dave in Pittsburgh who said, wouldn't these coaches with a great job now at Oregon or Texas or Clemson be crazy to try to follow up Nick Saban at Alabama?
Yeah, no, that's why I think they have to go with a young guy. I think they need to go somebody that isn't going to have a long and storied sort of past to bring on to sort of compare it to Saban and what he did at Alabama. I think less runway behind the next coach at Alabama is actually beneficial for the coach and the program. You know, Dabo Sweeney's an Alabama alum. That's a, you know, ideal candidate per se. I don't think that's a good fit for Alabama right now. I just think they need less runway and it's going to take a while, maybe a couple coaches, for somebody to carve out the next, what Alabama is going to look like tomorrow and two, you know, years from now. It might take a couple coaches, who knows? But that's a very long shadow to be cast. And the more runway an experienced coach brings to the table, the more the comparison is going to be done.
Andy, I think you made some great points. I'd like to respond to that. I'll do that at the start of quarter four. And I promise we'll start talking Penn State football also. Stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. Andy, I did want to follow up on that last question that we got about, I guess it was Dave in Pittsburgh who asked about someone taking the job in Alabama. And you responded that it may not be what we think is the obvious answer, like a Dabo Sweeney, who's an Alabama alum. He's been talked about as the successor to Nick Saban for years. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, yeah.
Yep.
Probably the right guy.
Yep.
Now, we talked about for Nick Saban the changing rules, the changing game, maybe didn't fit him. I think the same thing with Dabo Sweeney. I'm wondering if the guy combined resume, young enough, Southeast Conference background is the Oregon coach, Dan Lanning, who he went to Oregon, won pretty quickly. Two seasons. He's still a young guy. Seems to understand how NIL works. Of course, he's had Nike money at Oregon, but again, the background, and he's not the way Dabo Sweeney has made his career. He will be remembered as the Clemson coach. Right. Lanning is young enough where he could end up being remembered as the Alabama coach.
Yeah, now, not a bad call.
I think the flip part of the question is, if you're Lanning, do you really want to be the guy who comes in right after Saban? Does anybody want to be that guy? And, you know, it's a long hell. The first time I heard this statement made was with John Wooden at UCLA years ago. You don't want to be the guy who follows the legend. You want to be the guy who follows the guy.
Who followed
the legend. So we'll see how that works out. All right. Andy, I promise we'd have some discussion about Penn State football and specifically. And we've talked about how the transfer portal is free agency, along with NIL, all the more it's free agency, off players often going to the highest bidder. But I'm going to ask you the question that is often asked in professional sports. How did Penn State do in this offseason, okay? When it was just a matter of talent acquisition was recruiting out of high school, you didn't ask the question that way. But now free agency is part of the equation. So how did Penn State do in free agency?
Well, so far, I think free agency also extends for Penn State this year to the coordinator, right?
Yes.
I think, yeah, they needed two new coordinators. They need wide receivers. They need offensive linemen. They still need cornerbacks. They need more receivers. So they got two former number one recruits in the state of Pennsylvania, right? So that means, I think, since Julian Fleming was the number one recruit out of Pennsylvania in the 2020 class, when he went to Ohio State, he's now coming from Ohio State to Penn State. Nolan Rucci was in, you know, the 2021 guy. So they have every one of the, from 20 up until this most recent recruiting class on Penn State's roster. They now have the number one player in Pennsylvania. So guys that you thought might be considering Penn State and didn't have now come back into the fold. How have they done? I think they've done exceptional in acquiring talent. I'm curious about Nolan Rucci because he didn't play much at Wisconsin. Hardly at all. And he wasn't able to crack the depth chart in 3 years. As you know, I know he redshirted his first year, but that's two full seasons and he didn't play much at all. So that's a bit of a concern in terms of his development. I think Julian Fleming just was behind super studs, B had some injuries, and I don't think his talent was able to shine at a level that was comparable to the guys in front of him. I think he's going to have an opportunity to be an elite receiver at Penn State. That's just my opinion. Nolan Rucci, I got more questions about. They also got a kicker, which I think they need a kicker. And they got another linebacker, kid from Thomas Jefferson, a Pennsylvania kid, also from Wisconsin. He was a three-star guy. I just think, you know, I don't know what to think of him. I think the guy at Pittsburgh Central Catholic that they got in the recruiting class, they're the same player, and the guy from Pittsburgh Central Catholic is better. So, you know, he's a backup. But I think in terms of what they have done has been very good. I think the flip side of it is they haven't really lost any impact players. That's the other side of free agency. It's who you gain, but it's who you lost. Yeah, they lost Manny Diaz, but that was sort of expected. That's not a surprise. Is that going to leave a mark? Yeah. Manny Diaz is an exceptional, one of the best in the country at being a defensive coordinator. There's no doubt about that. And if he's here instead of the head coach at Duke, Penn State's better. I'm not saying Tom Allen's a problem or Tom Allen isn't a good coordinator. I'm saying we know Manny Diaz is better. So they haven't really lost any name players or any impact players from this roster. That to me is just as important in how your offseason looks as what you gain and acquire. And I still think they have a lot of work to do in filling out this roster at a couple positions.
Well, Andy, well, first on the talent acquisition portion, I think James Franklin is very precise in what he doesn't throw out that wide net to bring in talent. I think he's very precise about what he's looking for. It was obvious he was looking for wide receivers. I think that after losing both Caden Wallace and Fashanu, bringing in a tackle, who a veteran tackle, was the way to go. A veteran tackle with upside. And at the very least, he's going to provide them depth. Yep. I think the position that, as of our recording, hasn't been officially addressed is cornerback. And I put it that way, Andy, because there are, you know, two names that have been projected to come to Penn State at the cornerback position. Yep. Again, as we're recording, they are not officially on board, but it appears that they are bringing in a couple of cornerbacks, which would address that positional need. You did bring up the great point also. It's not just about talent acquisition. It's about talent retention. And I don't know if there's another major team that has done as well as Penn State has in retaining their talent.
Yeah, I can't think of one in the transfer portal era. I can't think of one what you would term as an eye-catching player that's on Penn State's roster going to the transfer portal. And you're like, yeah, that one's going to leave a bit of a mark. I've been trying to think of one, and I can't really identify one.
I know there will be folks who will say Will Levis.
Yeah, but that was a choice he made when he had him, when they had, you know, I disagree with that, but they forced Levis to go to the transfer portal, I think, almost by not making him the starting quarterback, because in their opinion, he didn't win the job.
Oh, I
wasn't
agree.
The starting quarterback saying, I'm going to go to Kentucky.
Well, no, it was not. But I think there will be people who say, hey, this was a high draft pick in the NFL at quarterback. And which the guy they chose was not. So I'm just giving that side of the argument. To your point, though, even if you want to count Will Levis, that's the exception to the rule. They seem to have made the right choices. There was the plethora of running backs who all left. Which of them has gone on somewhere else and had, you know, much of a career?
And so, they were expected to leave when they left Penn State because there was handwriting on the wall that said, yeah, they're gonna lose running back A and running back B. It wasn't anything like, oh boy, that 1 + 1 didn't equal 2. I haven't found that for Penn State in a transfer portal exit where you're like, you got your head cocked and you're like, that's a surprising move. I wouldn't be surprised at much these days when it comes to transfer portal, but I don't think Penn State's had one that didn't have any reasoning to it.
Now, with that said, we are going to see more guys hitting the portal.
You will.
Because they have about 94, 95 guys on scholarship right now, and they have to get that down to 85. So there will be guys leaving, but I don't think they're going to be that surprise starter leaving. If that were the case, they would have already left. So that the guys that are going to leave are going to be the guys who aren't winning positions, you know, through spring practice. They'll see the handwriting on the wall, and the coaching staff, I'm sure, will, if they don't see the handwriting on the wall, the coaching staff will point it out to them. Go ahead, Andy.
The thing I was going to say is, if you look at the landscape of college football today and you look at Penn State, Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, if any one of those three hit the transfer portal, that would, you know, you're like, that would not, in the bigger landscape and what it looks like around other programs around the country, that's not a surprise. That's not like outside the box. That wouldn't have been, you know, like, oh my gosh. You know, that is, you know, that's a, they're a huge loss no matter what. I am flipped on the other side. I'm kind of surprised that that not one of those three was not at least, you know, there was not at least conversations about them potentially entering the transfer portal. It was all three were solid, like, yeah, no, we're not. And that is the surprising other side of the coin for me is, those kind of players with the kind of the way this offense went and looked and the firing of the coordinator and both running backs sort of, you know, while I think they both had really good seasons, they weren't those sort of impact or dynamic second seasons that you kind of hoped and thought they might have. So you change what the players do today when that happens. They change the landscape. There was all the reasons that, you know, elite players enter the transfer portal. Penn State had those ingredients on offense and none of those three left. That's really good for Penn State and a surprise to me.
And the other name to throw into that mix is Bo Pribula.
Right.
Because there's a statistic, Andy, for quarterbacks who haven't started a game in their first 2 years on campus. The vast majority of them enter the portal. Okay. So, you know, Bo Pribula fits that model. He does.
Yeah.
And he has shown some skill level. I'm sure there would be teams who would readily take him where he would have an opportunity to play right away. And he has also not gone. So you have two of the glamour positions, running back and quarterback, where you have a two deep there and none of the four guys choosing to leave. That's probably the surprise, Andy. Not that if one of them would leave. All right, Andy, that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T-Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.